Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, excuse me, verses 1 to 21 from the English Standard Version. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?
Thanks, Lila. Throughout John's gospel, as we've been working through it, we've heard Jesus make these significant, weighty, I am statements. So far, we've heard him say things like, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was, I am. And today we're going to look at two more statements that he makes. He says, I am the door. And I am the good shepherd. He'll go on through the rest of the gospel to say things like, I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. These big I am statements that Jesus uses analogies to point to who he is as he is revealing himself. Now, as we look at these statements that Jesus makes in this conversation, we need to remember that we've kind of pushed pause from last week. We're starting chapter 10, verse 1, but we're halfway through a conversation that's already happening. When we see the chapter divisions in our Bible, those aren't like divinely inspired chapter divisions. Those were added centuries later as a reference for us to be able to know, okay, this is when Jesus says this in John 10, 1 to 21, instead of saying, you know that time Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, blah, 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 right? That way we have a specific reference to go to. But sometimes I want to kick whoever made those divisions because they happen what I feel like is at the wrong time. And so we read up to the end of chapter 9 and we don't continue into chapter 10. We kind of close our Bible for the day without realizing, oh, it's a bigger conversation that Jesus is having with the same people. N.T. Wright, who's a famous New Testament scholar, he says, the Bible isn't written in little 10-verse chunks for us to be able to easily digest and to sit in our devotions in the morning and enjoy those kind of 10 verses. That's what we do and often how we read, and we have to start somewhere in sections. But But often we do that to the detriment of realizing we're reading a bigger story, that there are bigger conversations than in our little bite-sized, what we're able to preach on Sunday morning or read in our time in Scripture. One of my favorite things that we had to do in college in one of my New Testament classes is we had to read through each of the Gospels in one sitting. So whether it was Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John, it was our homework that we would have to sit down with one of the Gospels, open up the Bible, and not close it until we finished reading that Gospel. And to read it all in one sitting, you see the broad sweeps that we don't get when we're chopping it up week by week like we're doing. All of this to say that there are conversations that are happening that we need to remember what we did last week in order to really understand this week. So to pick up from last week, just as a recap, Jesus performed this fantastic miracle where he healed a man who was born blind. Not like a guy who had an accident and became blind, but he has been blind his whole life. And Jesus radically changes his life by giving him the ability to see. But the problem is once this guy is confronted by the Pharisees give him a really hard time because they don't really believe he was healed because it was on the Sabbath. And who would ever heal on the Sabbath? For them, that was just outside their paradigm. And so they give this guy a hard time. They bring in his parents and they interrogate his parents to make sure he was actually born blind instead of just believing him and celebrating that this guy's life was radically transformed. And in this, we see Jesus point out the irony of this man was born blind, but he can see now, and he sees who I am, and he accepts Jesus as the Messiah. He compares that with the Pharisees, who should be able to see, where they have had the Scriptures their whole life and have been studying them, but when they're confronted with Jesus, it's like they're blind to who he is. So we talked about this issue of spiritual blindness. This is where we're picking up this week. Jesus is still in that same conversation with those Pharisees, with whoever was standing around and listening to it. And that's where we get into where we are in John 10 today. We're going to be going through this passage in sections. So if you want to grab your Bible and keep it open, that might be helpful. Page 896, John 10. And we're going to divide this up into kind of three sections. Verses 1 to 6 in John 10, we're going to talk about the true voice. In verses 7 to 10, we're going to talk about Jesus as the door to salvation. In verses 11 to 21, we're going to talk about Jesus as the sacrificial good shepherd. This is how we're going to handle this text. Let's just pray, ask God to be with us as we look at his word. God, thank you for your Scriptures. Thank you for those who have given their lives so that we can have these Bibles in our hands today. That throughout the centuries, it's been a struggle to be able to have these Bibles in the hands of everyone. So let us not take that for granted. Let us approach your word with reverence. And Lord, I pray you would speak to us through it. Amen. Well, verses 1 to 6, our section, Jesus as the true voice. This is what he begins to say on the heels of this conversation about spiritual blindness. He says to the Pharisees, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens." So Jesus, in order to continue his teaching, uses an analogy. He sets up this picture of shepherding, of a sheep pen, something that everyone would probably be pretty familiar with at that time. And he goes to make this contrast in this analogy of shepherding, of a shepherd and thieves and robbers. The shepherd that everyone recognizes, he's the good guy, the guy who's manning the door, opens up to him because he recognizes him. He knows he owns the sheep, as opposed to the thieves and the robbers who have nothing to do with the shepherd, but they just hop the fence in order to come in and steal and take advantage of the sheep. I mean, if you have to hop the fence, you probably have no business being there. Jesus uses this as a setup to make his point. Listen to what he says about the shepherd as he continues. He says, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls out to his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? For they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." We read on, and John says the Pharisees had no idea what Jesus was getting at. That's probably part of their blindness, that they're not picking up what Jesus is saying. But here's really what this boils down to. The question, do you know the shepherd's voice? Do you know the shepherd's voice? As followers of Jesus, we should know the shepherd's voice when we hear it. And we should be able to recognize the voice of strangers and flee from it. Do we know the shepherd's voice? On the heels of last week, we read this and we see this comparison of children of God have eyes to see what God is up to and ears to hear what he's saying. So this kind of begs the question for us. All right, this is a great metaphor, but how can I identify the voice of Christ when there are so many voices out there? So many influences, so many advertising campaigns and lifestyles that are saying, follow this or follow that. How do we identify the voice of Christ in the midst of a world competing for our attention? Well, Jesus continues, and I think as he continues, he shows us a bit more of what it means to hear his voice, to be able to distinguish what he is saying versus what all the other voices that we hear are saying. He continues and he says, "I am the door. I am the door." What does a door do? Well, a door lets people in, right? You use a door to get into the house. But you also use a door at nighttime where you close it and lock it to keep people out. Some of you live in the country and you don't lock your doors, but that's okay. Jesus is the door. He lets people in and keeps people out. Jesus says he is there to protect his sheep from the thieves and robbers as the door. A closed door to false teachers who would seek to take advantage of his sheep. Remember what he said earlier, that unless someone comes through the door, they're a thief and a robber. And Jesus as the door isn't about to let thieves and robbers in to his sheep. Here Jesus is making a bold statement against the Pharisees. He's saying that you've been the blind leading the blind, like we were talking about last week. You've not been leading Israel towards God. You've been leading them astray. And now Jesus, making this statement of being the door, he's saying, now I'm stepping in to guard my flock from you. I have to be the division between you and my flock. Jesus and his teaching becomes the dividing line for us of what are the voices we listen to. Jesus as the door makes the divide between what are the voices of the world and what are his voices. Here's what I mean by this. We're reading the words of Jesus right now as we read scripture, as John records literally like the voice of Jesus. And as we read scripture, and interesting, specifically the words of Jesus in the Gospels, we get a sense of the divisions that Jesus makes, where he teaches his people and he says, this is what will lead to life and this is what will lead to death. Listen to my teaching about this. You have heard this before, but this is what I say to you. He is being the dividing door between what is the world's teaching, their voice that they're trying to get at you, and what is from God. I mean, this isn't just something back then. We see it now, commercial after commercial, movie after movie, magazine after magazine, music video after music video. The world communicating that a woman's value is found in her body and her image. That if men find you attractive, then you're valuable. And if you wear this size and dress that way, that is where you find your value. And if anything else, you're imperfect. And this leads to a huge amount of self-image issues, not just in women, but in people, because it's such a loud voice in our culture. But if Jesus is the door, then he is the dividing wall between true and good teaching and what are just the voices of the world shouting at us. See, instead, Jesus speaks into this issue and tells us, regardless of who you are and your gender, your age, your weight, your body type, you are incredibly loved by the God of the universe, and that is where your true value is found. Something that is unshakable by the trends and cycles of fashion and culture and what is faddish. Jesus is the door. So you can listen to him and shut out all the voices of thieves and robbers, the words that the world is shouting at you. If Jesus is the door, then the voices we listen to rise and fall on whether they line up with what Jesus says when we read it in Scripture. That should be our first clue. If the voices we listen to aren't lining up with the teaching of Jesus, then we know that that is not the voice of God. That is not what God is leading us into. If they contradict him, it's just the voice of thieves and robbers that Jesus is meant to protect us from. And this isn't just like worldly things. This isn't just like advertising campaigns. But there are even people that can use Scripture as a way to speak into your life in a way that is not the voice of Christ. And we need to be discerning of what Jesus is saying. When we put together the outlines for our John series, it was around the time of the Orlando massacre that took place. And the Sunday after the shooting at the Orlando nightclub was one of the most difficult days for me. Because there were pastors who got in the pulpit after that mass shooting and said things like, "The only tragedy is not more of the sodomites were killed." Claiming to speak on behalf of Christ, where there is no voice of Jesus there. We need to be discerning that even those who claim to speak on behalf of God are lining up with the words and teaching of Christ. I mean, like, analyze what I'm teaching and make sure what I'm teaching is lining up with the words and teaching of Christ. I try very hard to make sure I do, but I'm not Jesus. It's important for us to discern and to not just accept it because a preacher says it, but to line it up with what Scripture says and let Jesus be the dividing door of what is true teaching and what is just voices of the world. So Jesus is a closed door to those who would hurt his flock, but Jesus also says he is an open door to those who would follow Jesus as Lord. In John 10:9, Jesus says this, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is a closed door to those who would seek to hurt his flock and an open door to those who would seek to follow him. He is the way in. So Jesus takes this moment and shifts from being division to showing the motivation for why he's there. The motivation for his teaching. He contrasts himself in the next verse with the thieves and robbers. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly." He's saying, here's why I am keeping the thieves and robbers away, because they are here to steal and to kill and destroy. I'm here so you can have life and salvation. You can have the best life that I have planned for you. So often we look at this verse and we take it out of the context of John 10 and we use it as like the job description of Satan, which is kind of true, but I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about here. So often we say, you know, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, and that's Satan, and Jesus is here so we can have life and life abundantly. But in the context here, it looks more like he's talking about the Pharisees. It looks more like he's talking about those who are trying to teach his flock and do so for selfish gain, to do so for their own agenda instead of leading them closer to God. Yes, Satan does that, but it's more than just the devil. The good news is that Jesus is the door who literally stands for us between life and death. He divides for us what is life and what is death. He offers life if we enter through him. When we give our lives to Jesus, we're not just becoming another club member or another body for the cause. We're siding with the one who wants to protect us from what's genuinely harmful and wants to give us what is literally for our best interest. So if Jesus is the door, then we let him filter who we listen to. We let him filter what loud voices from culture we let shape our lives, whether they line up with Jesus or not. So the question is, which voices are we listening to? What ad campaigns, what worldviews, what perspectives are we allowing to shape us instead of the words of Jesus? And how can we flee from those and follow the voice of the shepherd? Here are three observations, three things that can help us to understand and to hear the voice of the shepherd. Very practically, reading the Bible. In reading scripture, the words that are breathed out by God, we can know his voice. We can tell once we know scripture, okay, this doesn't line up with what God says. This speaks to a different narrative than what God is telling me. Instead of my value being placed in my image and what I look like and what I wear, my value is in Christ and the fact that I'm made in the image of God. The Bible helps us to distinguish the voice of God. Also, the motivation of those speaking gives us a sense. When Jesus says, "I've come to give you life," and the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, you can tell a bit. If it's an advertising campaign for a company that's trying to sell you something, it may not necessarily be for your best interest. It's probably to make more money for the company. If it's the voice of a preacher who is trying to get into your wallet and trying you to get you to give more and more and more till you can't afford to live, you can see the motivation behind that. Jesus says he has come that we can have life and have it abundantly. So test the motivations of those voices. Another thing that helps us distinguish the voice of the shepherd is to be in Christian community and to talk with one another about it as brothers and sisters in Christ who each are able to hear the voice of Christ. We can help each other distinguish, yes, I think that is the voice of Jesus leading you, or I think you're listening to something that isn't of Christ. Together as the church, as community, we can help each other do that. Jesus is the door who divides good and bad teaching and the way in to give us life and salvation. The third statement, the third section that Jesus talks about is, "I am the good shepherd." This is, I think, my favorite "I am" statement that he makes in this chapter. Like, the door is cool and all, but this one hits home for me because it's a fulfillment of a bigger prophecy. In Ezekiel 34, hundreds of years before Jesus, God spoke through the prophet Ezekiel and told him to confront the religious leaders of Israel at the time. And he said, "Tell them, use this analogy of shepherds, and tell them that they are fat shepherds who aren't feeding their sheep. Tell them that they have not been taking their responsibility as leaders of my flock seriously. And because of that, my flock is sitting ducks to predators. Because of that, my flock is not healthy the way they need to be. In fact, you as bad shepherds are the worst thing for my flock right now. And so God speaks through Ezekiel and says to him, I myself will come down and I will be like a shepherd to my people. I will gather together the flock which you have scattered. And as Jesus says these words, I am the good shepherd. He's fulfilling that. He is taking over from the poor leadership that Israel has had through the legalistic Pharisees, through those who would lead Israel astray into more laws and laws and laws instead of having a heart for God. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, his words carry a weight that says he is here on behalf of God. And I love what that shapes out to look like. The very first thing he says about being the good shepherd, he says the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. We see glimpses of what's going to happen with Jesus. We see glimpses of the cross. I lay down my life for my sheep. He is a deeply invested shepherd. He's not like the hired hands who flee at the first sign of trouble. He's going to do whatever he has to for the health of his sheep. He's got skin in the game. He's not like the entry-level employee who's been working there for 2 weeks and when the business takes a bad turn, they jet. He's like the faithful owner who struggles through with the company in order to make it thrive. He's not going anywhere. He's not leaving his flock alone, even in the darkest moments. It reminds me of a very famous passage that I'm sure you know. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Another shepherd analogy. Question we need to ask ourselves in discerning the voices of the shepherd versus the voices of thieves and robbers shouting at us is are these voices really invested in us? Are they like the voice of the shepherd where he is laying down his life for his sheep? No thieves or robbers or hired hands will ever be about sacrificing themselves for the better of others. I love how Jesus continues and he uses this beautiful picture to show more about himself. And in power and humility, he says great things that give us glimpses of the magnitude of his role, where he says, I have sheep that aren't even from this flock. It's not just the Jewish people I've come to shepherd. It's not just the people in the first century around Jerusalem, but I've come to gather my flock from around the world, those who would hear my voice and respond to me. That's why we're here. We are part of that flock that is not just part of Jerusalem. Those of us who have responded to the voice of the shepherd. I love how he continues and he says, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down and I will take it up again. If we look at the past couple chapters where Jesus has been confronting these Pharisees, he said things and the Pharisees have picked up stones to kill him right then and there in the street. But it didn't work, because Jesus' time has not come. Jesus wasn't going to be arbitrarily killed in the streets. His death is perfect and intentional. And as he died on the cross, he would be dying for the sins of his flock. His death had a greater purpose than anyone realized, and it wasn't going to be something that they would just take from him. It is the good shepherd giving his life, not having it taken. He says, I'm in complete submission to the Father, and we have a plan far greater than what you imagine, and you can't steal, kill, or destroy me. I am laying myself down for the sake of my sheep. Even when Jesus is later crucified, it's not a victory for the Pharisees. It's a victory for the shepherd and his sheep. His death, his perfect, intentional, sacrificial death, where he gave his life, he laid down his life so that his sheep can have what he says, life and life abundantly. So the question for us this morning, is Jesus our shepherd? Are we his sheep? Are we listening for his voice and trying to distinguish his and separate it from all the voices around us shouting at us in the world, in all the noise pollution? I hate noise pollution. When I'm watching TV and then someone flips on the radio, I have such a one-track mind that it's like I can only listen to one or the other. And when both happen, my mind like starts going crazy. We need to be able to focus our attention on the voice of the shepherd and shut off our ears to the voices of the world. Are we as his sheep, readily accepting and trusting that he has laid down his life for us? Today we're celebrating communion, which is a very tangible celebration of the good shepherd who gave his life for his sheep. As we celebrate Jesus' body broken in the bread and his blood spilled in the juice, we remember that he gave it down intentionally. He gave his life perfectly and sacrificially so that we can have life. So that we don't have to worry about thieves and robbers coming and stealing and killing and destroying us. Because we have a life that cannot be stolen, killed, or destroyed. We have a perfect victory through our shepherd who gave his life for us. We're going to transition into our time of communion. And Josh and Lila are going to come up and lead us in a song as we pass out the elements. But I want to leave us with this psalm, which I read part of earlier. And as I read this, Psalm 23, think of it in light of Jesus as our good shepherd, as the one who protects his flock, as the one who speaks and leads his flock. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever.